Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Beis. So we got to the very top, the new Gemara here. Yesterday we did a decent sized mission about various situations of the having some of the blood in one kos, some of it inside, some of it outside, two kosos. So Gemara now says, Bishma, I understand the case, b'chutz v'chazav nasim b'fnim. So I understand the situation that you said, at first a person took some of the blood, and he had two kosos, and he poured outside. He's chayiv for that, and then he poured it inside, and then he's yotze that he's mechaper that. So I understand that because shekul roi li yos b'fnim, because since all the blood that was there, it's roi l'fnim. So then you're chayiv shchut echut. The definition of shchut echut or halal b'chut is anything that's roi for b'fnim when done outside, you're chayiv. Aval b'fnim v'hela b'chut shirayim ninu. But if you say that first you poured b'fnim, this is all one kos. I'm sorry. You first did b'fnim. And then afterwards you did outside. So why are you chayv from the outside? That's shirayim. And shirayim is not anything that's your mechayv, your chayv on. So the Gemara says, Hamani, who is this? This must be Rabbi Nechemihi. Damar shiray adam, shekiv b'chutz chayv. That's l'shitaso, that he holds that even though the shirayim are called shirayim, they're still ma'akiv, and you one would be chayv for doing it outside. So then the Gemara asks, E Rabbi Nechemia, Eim HaSeifa. Look what the Seifa says. The Seifa says, Kibel Dama Bishnekos is this case in two different cups. And Nelson Shneim Bifnim, you pour both of them into Ipater. You did nothing wrong. That's what you're supposed to do. If you put Shneim Bechutz, you're Chayiv. You pour both of them outside, you're Chayiv. If you do Echad Bifnim, Echad Bechutz, Pater. If you do one of them inside correctly, and then the second goes, you put outside, your Pater. But you should be chayiv on the one outside, because v'ha'amar Rabbi Nechemia shiar hadam she'krivu b'chutz, you're chayiv on shirayim. So seifa asan l'tanakama, and the Rabbi Eleza Rabbi Tanakama. So now the seifa is like Tanakama. So now we have a contradiction. Who authored our Mishnah? Is it going to be Tanakama, or is it going to be Rabbi Nechemia? So the Gemara says, Amar man Tana. Sorry. So the Gemara says, "Seifa asan the Tanakam of the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, damar kos asan dichoi osa dichli chavero." The answer is, thank you, Ricky. The answer, the Seifa tells us that the Seifa is authored by someone else, not by Rebbe Nechemia. In a Hanami, it is two different authors. It's authored by Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, who holds kos osa dichli chavero. So you have two kosos, and when you pour one kos, even though the second kos is shirayim, there's a klal by Rabbi Elazar that if you pour from one kos, the other one becomes automatically pushed off and it's disqualified, even if it is considered the shirayim. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Lema davar dome. We have the case of two kosos. You pour one, the other one's dichoy. So they give an example. What's this similar to? Lema davar dome, says the Mishnah, Lemafrish chatas of avda. You separate a chatas, then you lose that chatas. V'hifrish acheres tachteh. Then you replace it by setting aside another chatas. And then archakach nimtas harishon. Then you end up finding the first one. So the lacha was, if you shecht one bechutz, and you shecht the other one inside, so then the one of the inside is actually kasher, even though the first one you did was usher, you did one outside first, you chayv and shchut echutz. But when you do the one on the inside, you are, the baal receives his kapar, his miskapir. That was the dimyon the Gemara said, the two koses of blood to the two different chataos that were set aside. So Gemara says, "Lema davar domer lamali." What's the need to teach me this example? We understood the case, the two kosas, without having the example. So the Gemara says, "Hamani is telling us who is this? It must be Rebbe. He telling us the sheet of Rebbe. Damar avuda bishas hafrasha mesa. Now, if let's say an animal is lost, and then you set aside another one, a second one, so that first one, the lach is its mesa." Because there is a machlokas, Rashi refers to a machlokas, that according to another opinion, if you find it, the first one, you actually can shecht either one, but according to Rebbe, he says no. If you lost one, and you set aside another one, so the second one is good, but the first one, the halach is mesa. So the Gemara and the Hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Taima da avda, only because you lost that first one, does that first one get lost forever? But ha hifrish shtei chataos la'achraos. Let's say you didn't lose any. But let's say you said initially, I'm setting aside two chataos, you know, one as an insurance plan, but they're both set aside now without the din of avda, none of them got lost. So then the lach would be, chadim nayo meikara olehi. One of them already is considered olah because it's unnecessary and you don't have to let it die. Meaning the second one, the X one, can be used, let it graze and get a mum, and you sell it and the proceeds are going to be used for an ola. So again, for Rebbe, the lach is if you have a chatas A, you lose it. You set aside chatas B, so chatas A is completely disqualified, has to die. You can't do anything with it. But we learn from that, had it been that initially I set aside chatas A and chatas B, nothing's lost. I set aside two of them, so one of them, mimela, becomes extra, and that just becomes, you don't say mesa, rather you let it graze until it gets a mum. When it gets a mum, you sell it and use it for an ola.
Isn't that obvious? Because it says, meaning that the Mishnah itself says that.
We're telling us we pass like Rebbe, because there's a Tanakama who holds, even if it got avda, if you found it, you wouldn't say mesa.
Right, but like, to the Alma, if he separated two, he definitely... if it wasn't avda, there's no achlokas there, right?
Yeah, no, the only achlokas I believe is when it's avda.
When it's avda, right,
yeah.
Okay.
So just telling us, I think the din of Rebbe, even though Sir Rebbe says avda, but by hafrasha from Meikara, he would agree you, they're both good. One's a chatas, one serves as an ola. And the Gemara goes on to say further, ukid rav huna, amarav, tamarav huna, amarav, asham shenitek l'riya, v'shachtu stam, kasher l'ola. So let's say he's a different case here. Rav's talking about you have an asham. And let's say the asham is a situation where you don't really need the asham anymore. You ready a case of miskaper balav. So this asham becomes extra. So lach is that you have to let it graze until it gets a mum. And if it gets a mum, so then you use the proceeds to buy an ola. And let's say this guy didn't wait. And he shechted it anyways. He shechted the asham when he wasn't supposed to. We say it's fine. Just use it as an ola. That shechita could automatically turn it into an ola. That's the halacha. So he says the same thing as well. Since the second animal is omedes la ola, the guy's situation, he set aside two chatals unnecessarily. So one of them becomes extra, so one of them becomes an ola. What does it mean it becomes an ola? It means when it gets in a gamum, you sell it and you use the proceeds for a karbon. So what we're trying to learn from here is, let's say you didn't wait for it to get a bamum, the extra chatas, but instead you shechted l'shem ola, it would work. Just like an asham, that you're supposed to let graze, but instead you get shechted it for an ola, it works as an ola. So to a chatas, if you don't wait for it to get a mum, rather you shecht it as is, l'shem ola, so it will be accepted as a karbon. That's what the dimyon is. So the Gemara says, that dimyon doesn't make any sense, because mi dami, hasam asham zachar ve'ola zachar. An asham comes from a male, and ola comes from a male. So that asham, just by a shechita, could turn the asham into an ola. As opposed to a aval chatas, which is in a keva, it's a female, it's not able to. It's not able to turn into a zachar, obviously, and it can't be used as an ola if it's in a keva. So what kind of dimyon is this of a chatas, an extra chatas being shechted for an ola, from a asham that's shechted for an ola? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Chia miyostinia, that Bishir Nasir is when the Nasir, the Melech, separates a carbon, chatas, his chatas actually comes from a zachar. So let's say the Melech set aside two chatos, and so obviously by definition one is extra, so one of them he's supposed to let graze until it gets balmum, and use the money for ola. Instead he doesn't wait for it to get a balmum, he shechts it as is, l'shem ola, that will actually work, just like a shechita on a extra asham can transform it into ola, so to shechita on an extra chatas of a nasi, which is a zachar male, could also be transformed into an ola. Hajin alach hashochet v'amal.
Doesn't say anything about the last
No, there's a Tosus there, but we addressed that. Yes, the Gemara doesn't go through. Now we begin the 14th and final parak of the Masechta. We're around a week away from the Siyum. So the Mishnah tells us that this whole daf is now it's one long Mishnah. It's really like 10 Mishnahs put together without being broken up. So it's a pretty smooth reading. So the Mishnah says, Paras chatas, which is referring to a paraduma, shesrafa, that you burnt it, chos megisa, outside the place it was supposed to be, you shechted it where outside it was, burnt it or shechted it outside the area where it was supposed to go. The chayin sar mishalech, that was shechted, shekriva b'chutz, sar mishalech is supposed to be thrown off the cliff, as we know, but instead you did a hakrava on it in the wrong place, outside the area. This is pater. Why are these things pater? Shenemar ve'el pesach olam moed lo hiviu. Meaning the Indian of Shchut Eichutz and Hakrav Eichutz is only on an item, a carbon that's roi for the Bifnim. But a Sar Lazazel and Paraduma are meant to be outside, not inside, and therefore it's not subject to the halachas of Shchut Eichutz. Mishnah now says, the next Mishnah, Haroveya, an animal that was Roveya, a woman, or Nirva, that was Nirva from a man, Hamukta, which is designated for Avodah Zarah, Vahanevad, an animal that is actually used for Avodah Zarah, Hamechir, that was switched with a dog, Vahesen, that was used to pay off a zona, Haklayim, that was a crossbreed, Hatrefa, an animal that can't live for more than 12 months, Vyote Dofin, an animal born through a cesarean section, Shekriva Mechutz, all of those, that if you take it outside and Makrivit Mechutz, it's Pater, Shinamar, again, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, has to be something that should have been lifnei Mishkan Hashem. Kol Shein Roy Lavo, something that can't go lifnei Mishkan Hashem, ain't Chayim Malav. And since all these psulim are not acceptable by any means on the Mizbeach, so therefore it's not considered not a problem of Shchutei Chutz. Next Mishnah. Bali Mumim, Bain Bali Mumim Kruum, whether the Bali Mumim, the animal, is a permanent blemish, or Bain Bali Mumim Ovrim, or it's a one that passes, comes and goes, the Lach is Shekivim Bechutz, if you bring it outside, it's pater, because they're not right b'fnim. They're bali mumim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, bali mumim kfuim pater. He agrees by a permanent blemish that's unfixable, that is going to be pater because it's not right b'fnim. But bali mumim ovrim, that comes and goes, chayiv below sase. He does think it's a chayiv below sase, because since after time it will be fit, there is some potential where it is roi b'fnim, it does qualify. Although you're not chayiv kareis for such a case, there would be a chiv, a iser lav. So then the next Mishnah says, Torim shloha giyazmanam, u'bnei yona sh'avar zmanam. So Torim and bnei yona are different types of birds, the only types of birds that we accept as karbanos. So the Torim have to be reaching a certain age. They're too young, they're possible. Once they reach a certain age, I forget the age, maybe it's a year, they probably say here. They don't say how old. I think based on color, maybe also the Mishnah in Chulin talks about. So when it comes to Torim that haven't yet reached the age, the old enough age to be Makriv, they're too early. Or Bnei Yona, they're only permitted when they're younger, but Bnei Yona, when they get too old, they're disqualified. So Torim Shelo Higiv Ezmanam, or Bnei Yona She'avar Ezmanam, the time has passed for the Bnei Yona, She'akrivim Mechutz, you were makir them outside your pater, because it's not Roi B'fnim. Either it's too early, it's too young, or the other birds are too old. But again, Rabbi Shimon Lashitaso says, Bnei Yona She'avar Ezmanam pater. If it's a Bnei Yona that's over the age, it's pater, because it's never Roi B'fnim, it's too old. It's over the hill, as opposed to Torah Mishlo Giyazmanim, the Torah that are too young, but they can in a couple months or whatever time, they will become Roy. He thinks it would be violation and it would be a below sase. It wouldn't be a Kares because they're not Roy right now, but since they will be Roy in the future at some point, it would be violation of a low sase. Then the Mishnah says, Oses Beno, an animal you shechted the mother on one day, and then the child is an Isser to shech the child on that very same day. So right now it's also to do any Shechita on that child. Or Mechusar's Man, an animal is only Roy for carbon once 8 days had passed. So let's say it's within 8 days, it's 6 or 7 days, let's say, and a person shechs it, Pater. Because right now, today, it's not Roy B'fnim, because the mother was shechted today, or it's only 6 days old. So you're Pater, it's not Roy B'fnim. But yet again, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hareza Belo Sase, you violate a Lo Sase, because even though right now the child isn't Roy, but tomorrow, the Oses Beno is only usher on that day to shech the mother and child in the same day. But to shech them on different days, it's permitted. So if you just wait a few hours and the day turns, you're permitted to shech them. Or you wait a couple of days, it's no longer considered Mechutzer Zman, this animal would be permitted. So that's Rabbi Shimon Lashitaso, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shehu Roy Lavo L'Acher Zman, anything that's fit to go in the Bizbeach, in the Mikdash, after some time, Hareze Belo Sase, Ve'en Bo Karis, though. The Chacham Omrim, Kol Shein Bo Karis, Ein Bo Lo Sase. He says you cannot separate between Karis and Lo Sase. If there's no Karis, which means it's not Roy right now, so in Mimela there's no Lo Sase either. Then the Mishnah, a new Mishnah tells us, Mechusar Zman, Bein Begufo, Bein Bebalav. Whether Mechusar Zman is in the guf itself, or whether it's in the bal. So we saw Begufo, which means when the animal isn't yet 8 days old. That's a Mefurish Pasuk, but Yom HaShmini. But what's a Ezu Mechusar Zman Bebalav? What's an example where the owner, the one bringing the carbon, is lacking, is not Roy just yet? So the Mishnah explains, Hazav, Vazava, Vayoledes, Vamitzora, Shekrivu Chatasam, Vashaman Bechutz Pturim. They bring it too early because they're not right to bring it inside yet. So therefore, it would be pater. But olosayim v'shalmayim b'chutz chayiv. What's the difference between the chatas and asham where you're pater versus the ola and shalman where you're chayiv? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, So Rashi Chayavim, it's like top, it's the right side of Rashi on both sides of the page here. So the top right, it's around 10 lines down. Rashi explains Chayavim Sharei Miskablin Bifanim Bifnim Nidavol Lishman Vishalmeya Megmar Parach Ma Shalme Ika Behani. So I think the idea is since the Shlamim, rather since the it's going on the Olas rather, the Ola we said Chay, right? Since the Ola is right to be brought as a nether, so therefore, even before he becomes Tamei, the Chathas and the Asham, he can't bring, if he's Tamei, he can't bring the Chathas, not Roy Bifnim. But an Ola, if he wants, he could send a nether, so a nether is allowed, and so to Shlamim is allowed as a Nedava, nether Nedava. So since these things are allowed, even though he's Tamei, the Shlamim and Ola are acceptable, but since a Chathas and Asham he may not bring until he's Tahor, therefore they're unacceptable, and doing it outside would actually be Patur. Then the Mishnah, the new Mishnah tells us, Hamala mibsar chatas mibsar asham mibsar kachay kachim mibsar kachay kalim umoser omer, all these different parts of the karbanos, the leftover of the karban omer, oshtei lechem from shavuos karban, or lechem apanim from the weekly 12 breads, or shiar minachos, or the leftovers from any mincha that's supposed to be eaten, the lechem for all these things. Gemara still says further, and hayotik, which is the oil that's supposed to be poured on a mincha, haposes, which is breaking up of the bread, the mincha, into different crumbs, habola, which is referring to mixing the oil with the flour, hamaleach is pouring salt over it, and hamenif, which is waving the mincha, hamagish is having the mincha touch the mizbeach, hamesader es halshulchan, or putting lechem upon him on the shulchan properly, hametif is aneros, which is cleaning the menorah, HaKomich is doing the kmitz of the mincha, and Makaba Damim B'chutz are accepting the blood B'chutz. All those we just listed, all 20 of those, all those are pater. The Gemara is going to explain why you're pater for all those cases, so we'll have to wait till we get to the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, Ein chayavim alav lo mishim zaros, lo mishim tumav, lo mishim mechutz begadim, lo mishim shelo riachatz yadam yaglaim. All those things we just listed as well. Vizar, normally Vizar does avoda, he's chayv misa for doing an avoda. All those that we just mentioned are not. And those are also based on different sugyas. A zar is only chayv on something that's a avoda tama, that's a complete avoda, and also has to be an avoda nesina, giving something as opposed to removing something. Like chumas adeshin is removing something. It has to be something that's giving, and has to be a complete avoda for a zar to be chayv. And also, these are pater from tumah as well, because Rashi points out the din of zar and din of tumah are learned out from the very same source. And so whatever a zar is chayv, a tumah is chayv, whatever a zar is pater, a person who's tameh is pater. Also mechusar begadim, if they're lacking clothing, then as Rashi points out that mechusar begadim is like a zar. A kohen who doesn't wear his clothing is like a zar, because we say in the Gemara, bizman she'ein bigdei maleim, ein kunasim aleim. If they're not wearing the bigdei kuna, they're not called kohanim, they're called a zar. So here as well, mechusar begadim has the same exact halachas as a zar. And then when it comes to not washing your hands, it's chai misa to do an avoda without washing hands and feet. Rashi says that's also learned from Gzei Shava, from Mechusa Begadim. It says chukah here, so whatever Mechusa Begadim is chai von, so to Racha Tzedai Merglaim, one's chai von as well. Okay, so now the Mishnah gets to halachas of the Bamos. We've been speaking about Bamos a lot in Shchut Echutz, we didn't really hear much about them yet. So the Mishnah finally tells us now, Ad Shalohukam Mishkam, before the Mishkam is built in the Midbar, Hayu Abamos Mutaros, they were allowed to have various Bamos to bring Karbanos. And the Avodah was done by the Bechoros, the oldest member of each household. Mishahukam Mishkam, but once they built the Mishkam, Nesu Abamos, they prohibited any Bamos anywhere in the Midbar, and anyone who did so, that would be a violation of Shchut Echutz. That's actually the context where Shchut Echutz comes up. They built the Mishkam, they said, it's awesome to do any Karbanos now outside the Mishkam. They asked all Bamos. And then the Avodah also transferred from the Bechor to the Bakohan. The Kohanim did all the Avodos in the Mishkan. And when it came to Kachi Kachim, Nechal Mufnim Menachlaim, we know different Kachi Kachim, the Chathas and the Asham and Menachos, are all eaten by Kohanim. So those were eaten inside the Klaim, inside the curtains of the Mishkan. Kachi Kalim were meant to be eaten further. Bechol Machne Yisrael, all of Machne Yisrael, they were allowed to eat the Kachim Kalim, such as Shlamim. Bola Gilgal, once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they crossed over the Yarden, so they came to Gilgal, and they had established the Mishkan there for 14 years as they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they divided the land for another 7 years, totaling 14 years. So during those 14 years, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, Hutru HaBamos, Bamos were permitted, yet again, everyone could have their own personal Bama and bring Karbanos. Kachim kachim were eaten nechal lefnim min aklaim. The kachim kalim were not allowed to, kachim kachim rather, were not allowed to be brought in bamas yachad though. Kachim kachim had to be brought to the Mishkan in the bamas tzibor in the Mishkan in Gilgal, so that had to be eaten inside the klaim, the curtains of the Mishkan. But kachim kalim, which were permitted to be brought in the bamas yachad, were eaten also b'chamakim wherever you wanted as well. Then after those 14 years, Baal Shiloh, they transported the Mishkan to Shiloh, where it was for, I think, around 400 years or so. Nemru HaBamos, Nesru, rather, Bamos now, Bamos yet again became Aser, Tlohaya Sham Tikra, and in this Mishkan in Shiloh, there was actually no ceiling made of wood, Ela Beis Havanim Bilvan Milmatan, there was some, the stone walls, Vayiros Milmalan, and it was covered by curtains on top. V'yaisa Menucha, that's what the Pasuk refers to as a Menucha. It says in the Pasuk, Ki lo vasim arata el menucha. You didn't come into this point until menucha. Shiloh is called menucha. And during the period of menucha, the period of Shiloh, it was aser to have bamos. Then, so what about the lachas of eating? Kachi kachim nechalim lefnim min aklayim. Kachi kachim nechatas ne'ashim and minachos were eaten with inside the curtain of the Mishkan that was situated in Shiloh, and Kachikalam Umay Shesheni Bechol Hairoa. We're able to be eaten anywhere where you could see the Shiloh. You're allowed to eat the Kachim Kalam, and Umay Shesheni might remind you of the Gemara's in Megillah right in the beginning there. Any place you could see is considered permitted to eat Kachim Kalam and Maiser Sheni. Now, the reason why we didn't mention Maiser Sheni before this is because Maiser Sheni wasn't Chayiv yet until Shiloh. Fine. So then the Mishnah says, Bola Nova Givon. So after the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, and so then they had built a new Mishkan in Nova and in Givon. So then Hutra Bamos, and the Bamos became permitted yet again during those years. Kachi Kachim Nechalim Lefnim Naklaim were only permitted inside the curtains, because even though Bamos were permitted, we know Kachi Kachim can be brought on a Bamos Yachid. You have to bring it to the Bamos Tzibor in Nova Givon, so it had to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan there in Nova and Givon. Bechol, and when it came to Kachim Kalim, Bechol Ari Yisrael, it was permitted to be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is going to explain all these different chilukim. There's a lot here we're going through. And then Baal Yishlaim, then finally they came to Yishalayim when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Nesu HaBamos V'lohoya Lahen Heter V'yaisa Nachla. There was never ever a Heter of Bamos. Bamos is completely obsolete now, and therefore, and it's called also Nachla. The Pasuk refers to it as the Nachla, the eternal place of resting. So just a...
Is this Shlomo? Because it was David HaMelech who brought
David didn't build it though.
He brought the Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but it was only when they built the Beis HaMikdash.
Only when they built it.
Yeah.
Even if he bought Aaron HaBris before.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So then, I believe so. Here it says when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's based on anything or not, but... okay, and then it says, so once the Beis HaMikdash was built, the halacha is that Kachi Kachim Necham Lefnim Menaklaim, inside the walls of the Azara, and Kachim Kalam Umay Shesheni Lefnim Menachoma, inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So just to recap quickly of the Heter Bamos were permitted in the Midbar before the Mishkan was built. When the Mishkan was built, it became Aser. It was permitted yet a second time, 14 years, when it was in Shiloh. Gilgal. And then Shiloh became Aser again, and then permitted again, Novin Givon, which I think were another couple hundred years or so. I don't remember the timing. Fine, so that's, and then became Aser forever. So now the Mishnah finishes up by saying, Kol HaKachim Shekdishin B'Shas Iser Bamos. Let's say they were Makdish an animal when it was Aser Tab Bamos, and Hikrivon, and they were Makrivit B'Chutz B'Shas Iser Bamos, when it was still Aser Tab Bamos. One violates an asay. The pasuk says, "Ve'heviyum l'Hashem el Pesach ol moed." You have to bring it into the ol moed, the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash, and also velos asay, as it says, "Hishamer lecha." Hishamer is always alive. Hishamer lecha pen tale ol asecha b'chol makom asher tira. V'chayav malav kares, as well as it says, "V'nichas ha'ish ha'hu me'amav." So a person's makdish it during Iser Bamos and is makarit during Iser Bamos, an asay, a los asay, and kares. Now, next scenario. Hikdisha b'shas heter bamos. Let's say they're makdisha when bamos were permitted. Let's say during before the Mishkan was built, or during the Gilgal, those 14 years. So then, what's the halacha? Or during Nova Givon, and hikrivim b'shas iser bamos. But let's say then they were, even though they're makdish it when it was mutter, they were makar it outside when it already became aser. So let's say they're makdish it the day before the Mishkan was built, which was a permitted heter bamos. But the next day they're makar it when the Mishkan is already there, but there's already iser bamos now. So lachiz hare elu b'asei v'loz asei, but ein chayav m'lav kares. The Gemara will explain this as well. There's an asei lav, but there is no kares. Since you're at least makdish it during a heter time, you don't get kares. Third scenario is hekdeshim b'shas iser bamos. You're makdish it during a time where you're not allowed to, but hekrivim b'shas heter bamos. But you're makav it when bamos were permitted. Hare elu b'asei. That's only in asei. Vein b'em loz asei. There is no loz asei when it comes to this.
Let them die.
No, it sounds like a person. If a person's makdish it,
but he had no choice. Once the mikdash is destroyed,
you can put on the mishkan.
No, the mishkan was the whole idea that the bamos were up only once the mishkan was destroyed in every case. So he has no option unless he let it die.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess if he wants to avoid the asay, he should let it die. Yeah, right. I guess so. So then the Mishnah says, "Ve'elu kachim kraven b'mishkan." The following karbanos were brought in the Mishkan. It says in the Mishkan Gilgal, when there was a shas heter bamos, kachim shukdashu, anything that was stam hektesh the Mishkan karbanos sibor. Kachim shukdashu, any animal that was makdish without having any kavana, we assume it's the Mishkan, goes to the Mishkan. Karbanos sibor have to be kraven b'mishkan. Karbanos yachid are permitted by Bama. That's when a Bama was permitted. Karbanos yachid shehukdashu lemishkan. Let's say you designated, you were makdish a karban yachid, but the intent to bring it to the Mishkan, so then yakrivim b'mishkan, then you would have to bring it to the Mishkan. V'mikrivim b'bama pater. But if you end up bringing it to the Bama, then you'd be exempt. So again, anything that's karban sibor must go to the Mishkan. Karban yachid, you can do b'bamas yachid. But if you had in mind to bring a karban yachid to the Mishkan, you could bring it to the Mishkan, but if you end up bringing it outside, you would still be pater. And then, ma bein bamas yachid lebamas sibor, what's the difference between bamas yachid and bamas sibor, other than which karbanos they're able to accept? Smicha, where you have to do smicha. Smicha is only on a bamas tzibor, you don't do smicha on bamas yachid. Shechita tzafon, by bama gdol, you have to do it in the north, if the shecht in the north of the bama. Matan Saviv, having to go around, put the sprinklings on all the corners, are only by the Mizbeach, by the Bama Gdola, not by Bama Ketana. And Tenufa, the need to wave the Menachos, Hagasha, touching the Bama with the Mincha, is only Shayach by the Bama Gdola. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he adds, Ein Mincha B'Bama, he says there's never Bama, not even by Bama Tzibor, there's never Menachos, what to talk about. The other difference is the Mishnah lists V'chiho and V'chiho and B'Big Day Sharis. Only the Bama Tzibor requires a Kohen and the clothing, but a Bamas Yachid, any Zahar could do it, and there's no need for any special clothing. Uklisharis, you don't need a Klisharis for the Bamas Yachid. Riach Nichawach, which is that describe that you can't, by Bama Gdol, you can't first cook or roast the meat outside before Akhtara. It has to all be on the Mizbeach of Bama Gdol. By Bama Yachid, you're actually allowed to roast the animal beforehand, and then afterwards put it on the Bamas Yachid. And Mechitul Adamim, that Chura Sikra, the Bama Gdola had the Chura Sikra for certain Zrikas that go above, certain ones that go below. And the Bama Ketana did not have such a Chura Sikra. The Richa Tadayim Reglaim, the need to wash hands and feet are only with respect to the Bama Gdola, not Bama Ketana. But what they do have in common is Aval Bzman, which is a Pigal Bzman, Nosa leftover, the Isser to eat leftover, Atame, all that is Shavin, Bazeh, Ubazeh. Okay? Everyone have a wonderful.